Chapter 14. The Docks. They came as the sun began its downward arc in the sky. The Hell's Reach docks took up almost a third of the hive's perimeter. Thousands of uninspiring warehouses and harbour office towers stood watch over an expansive bay which featured an endless number of quays and piers that stabbed out into the sloshing, filthy, greyish water. The air across the entire world might have always reeked of something faintly sulfuric, but here, at the heart of Hell's Reach's industry, the reek bordered on petrochemically unhealthy. It only took an hour for a person's clothes and hair to become saturated with the greasy, heavy stink of spilled oil and ammoniac seawater. Lifers, the dock workers who spent their entire careers here, hacked up a fair share of blackness when they hawked and spat. Respiratory tumours were the second largest cause of death among the populace, only behind industrial accidents by a small margin. The chaos of the docks was a natural deterrent to the enemy assault, but not a true defence. The first sign of the enemy came as crews leaped from their vessels, risking a kilometre-long swim through pollution-foul waters to reach the docks. On dry land, the defenders of Hell's Reach watched as the hundreds of undocked tankers lurking offshore with their volatile manifests began to explode. The men and women of Hell's Reach stood together on cargo crates, on the paved groundways, on steel piers, all eyes turned to the seas and the fleet of enemy vessels breaching the surface of the water, powering closer to the city. A horde of humanity looking out to sea. Magherness was close to the front of one crowd, leading his worker gang in their filthy overalls, clutching a newly forged lasgun to his chest. They were being handed out by guard officers from weapon crates stored in warehouses across the dock districts. Every dock gang was treated to a short, simple talk on how a las rifle was loaded, unloaded, set to safety, and fired after aiming. McHernus had felt his palms sweating as he collected the rifle and extra power cells, which now sat in a small sack hanging from the side of his belt. The hurried guard sergeant had shouted his way through a quick demonstration, and now here McHernus was, gun in hand, dry-mouthed.
"Follow your assigned leaders!"
the sergeant had yelled above the noise of so many men and women gathered in one place.
"Every dock gang and every group of 50 people will have a stormtrooper with them. Follow that stormtrooper the way you'd follow the Emperor himself if he descended from the sky and told you what to do with your sorry asses. He will tell you when to fight, when to run, when to hide, and when to move. If you do what this trooper tells you to do, you've got a much greater chance of getting through this in one piece and not messing up another unit's movements. If you don't listen, there's a greater chance you'll be fouling it up for everyone else and getting your friends killed. Understood?"
General Ascent answered this.
"For the next few days, you're in the Imperial Guard. First rule of the Guard, go forward. If you get lost, you go forward. You lose your way, you go forward. You fall away from your group, you go towards the enemy. That's where you'll do the most good. And that's where you'll find your friends, understood?"
General Ascent answered this too. It came with a little more reluctance.
"Right. Next groups."
With that, McHernus's gang and several others filed from the warehouse, making room for others to get exactly the same lecture. Outside, dozens of Steel Legion stormtroopers in their ochre jackets and heavy, thrumming power generator backpacks were directing the flow of human traffic. McHernus led his gang to one that waved him over. The man was slender, unshaven, scratching his forehead under the domed helmet he wore. His goggles were raised up, fastened around the helmet, and his rebreather mask was hanging slack around his neck. He had the look of someone who, if not lost, was at least not entirely sure where he was.
Hello, McHernus swallowed. We need an assigned soldier.
Ah! I know this already. That is me. I am Andre.
Thank you, sir.
The stormtrooper laughed, slapping the dockmaster on the shoulder.
That is funny. Sir, I may keep you after the war is done to make me feel good, eh? I am not sir, I am Andre. Perhaps I will be sir after I make sure none of you are dead. I would like that. It would be nice. Yes, it is a big pressure, I understand this. I would like a promotion, so you must all stay alive. We play for big stakes now, no? I thank you for this idea you have given me. You have made the day more fun. Come, no time for making friends now. We will talk much soon. Hey, all of you dock working people, come with me, yes?
Without waiting for an answer, Andre began to walk through the crowds, followed by McHernes's gang. The stormtrooper would occasionally wave at other soldiers, most of whom offered silent nods or gruff greetings. One of them, a pale beauty with black hair so thick and rich it had no business being leashed in a plain ponytail, smiled and waved back.
"Throne, who's that?"
McHernes asked as he trailed just behind Andre.
"Your wife?" "I wish that is Tomosk. We are squadmates. She is nice to look at, no?"
She was. McHernes watched her, leading another group through the masses. As Tomoska was lost in the teeming crowds, his gaze fell on the men she was leading. McHernes prayed he didn't look as nervous as they all did.
"It is very funny, I think. Her brother is the ugliest man I have ever seen. Yet his sister is touched by fortune with great beauty. He must be very bitter, no?"
McHernes just nodded.
Come, time is running away from us."
That had been an hour ago. Now they stood with Andre, unfamiliar weapons held to their chests, pressed against quickened heartbeats. Andre was occupying himself by picking his nose. This was something he struggled to do in gloves of thick brown leather, but he went about the task with a curiously stately tenacity.
"Sir,"
McHernes started.
"A moment, please. Victory is almost mine."
Andre flicked something grotesque from his fingertip.
"I can breathe again. Emperor be praised. Sir, shouldn't you say something to us?"
He lowered his voice, stepping closer.
"Something to inspire the men."
Andre frowned, absently biting his cut lip as he looked around at the other groups spread down the dock lines.
"I do not think so. No other legionnaire is talking. I was going to wait for the Reclusiarch's speech, you know. Would you prefer me to speak now?"
"The Reclusiarch will speak."
"Oh, yes. He is good at this. You will like it. It will happen soon, I am thinking."
A blast of screeching feedback slashed through the air, as across the docks, kilometre upon kilometre of them, every vox tower came alive in a distorted whine.
"See?"
Andre grinned.
"I am always right. It is what I do best."
For several seconds, the people of Hellsreach heard nothing but breathing, low, heavy, threatening, over the vox speakers.
"Sons and daughters of Hive Hellsreach," the voice boomed across the shore districts, too low and resonant to be human, flavored by the slight crackle of vox corruption. "Look to the water. The water from which you draw the wealth of your city. The water that now promises nothing but death. For 36 days, the people of your world, the people of your own city, have been selling their lives to defend you. For 36 nights, your own mothers and fathers, your own brothers and sisters, your own sons and daughters have been fighting the enemy to ensure that half of the hive remains in human hands. They have battled road by road, sweating and fighting and dying so you can enjoy a handful of days of freedom. You owe them. You owe them for the sacrifices they have made so far. You owe them for the sacrifices they will make in the days and nights yet to come. Here and now, you will have the chance you deserve, the chance to repay them all. More than that, you will have the chance to punish the enemy for daring to lay siege to your city, for breaking your families apart and destroying your homes. Watch the tides. See the scrap fleet that sails into your port, bearing a horde of howling beasts. when the sun sets at the end of this week, every single invader in those surfacing ships will no longer draw breath from the sacred air of this world. They will fall because of you. You are going to save this city. Fear is natural. It is human. Feel no shame for a heart that beats too fast in this moment, or fingers that tremble as you hold a weapon you have never wielded before. The only shame is in cowardice, in running and leaving others to die when everything comes down to your actions. You are led by Guard veterans, the best of your steel legions, Imperial stormtroopers. But they are not alone. The forces of Hell's Reach are coming. Stand and defy the enemy for long enough, and you will soon see thousands of tanks constructed in this very city, grinding the invaders into dust. Help is coming. Until then, stand proud. Stand resolute. Remember these words, brothers and sisters. When death comes, the good we have done will mean nothing. We are judged in life for the evil we destroy. That time of judgment is upon you. I know every man and woman here feels it in their blood, in their bones. I am Grimaldus of the Black Templars, and this is my vow to you all. While one of us stands, these docks will never fall. If I have to kill 1,000 of the enemy myself, the sun will rise once more over an unconquered city. Look for the Black Knights among you. We will be where the fighting is fiercest, at the heart of the storm. Stand with us, and we will be your salvation.
Silence descended once more. MacHernus sighed, tension ebbing from him as his breath misted in the cool air. Andre was adjusting the slide rack settings on his modified las rifle. The weapon emitted a pulsing, charged hum that set the dockmaster's teeth on edge.
That was a stern talking to, no? Not many will run now, I am thinking.
MacHernus nodded. It took him several moments to speak.
What's that rifle?
This?
Andre finished his ministrations, gesturing to the thick power cables feeding from the rifle's bulky stock to the humming metal power pack he wore between his shoulders.
We call them hell guns. Like yours, only brighter and louder and hotter and meaner. And no, you cannot have one. This is mine. They are rare and only given to people who are right all the time.
And what's that?
This is a debt pack.
He tapped the hand-sized detonator disc hanging from his belt.
Used for sticking to tanks and making them explode into many pretty pieces. I once had many. Now I have only one. When I use it, I will have none. And that will be a sad day.
MacHernus wanted to ask if Andre was really a stormtrooper. He settled for saying,
"You are not exactly what I expected."
"Life,"
the soldier said, looking off to the side in what appeared to be distracted consideration,
"is a series of very wonderful surprises, until a final bad one."
Turning to the entire group, Andre buckled his helmet's chin strap with a grin.
"My handsome new friends, it is soon to be time for war. So, my beautiful ladies and fine gentlemen, if you want to remain beautiful and fine, keep your heads down and your rifles up. Always aim from the cheek, with your eyes down the barrel. Do not be firing from the hip. That is the best way to feel excellent about yourself and yet hit nothing. Oh, and it will be loud and scary, no? Much panic, I think. Always wait 1 second before pulling your trigger to make sure you are aiming at something you should be aiming at. Otherwise, you may be shooting other people. And that is bad news for you, and worse news for them."
The gangs of workers began to disperse across the docks, taking up positions in alleys between warehouses, behind crate stacks, around the edges of buildings, and on the various floors of multi-story hangars and work blocks facing the sea.
"Come, come."
Andre led his group into the shadows of a loader crane, ordering them to spread out and take cover around the huge metal strut columns and cargo containers close by.
Sir,
called one of the men,
my name is Andre, and I have said this many times, but yes, what is the problem? Oh, my gun's jammed. I can't get the power cell back in.
From where he crouched at the head of the group, Andre shook his head with a melodramatic sigh. With his goggles over his eyes and the infantile grin plastered across his features, he looked like some breed of gigantic, amused fly.
One has to wonder why you would be taking it out in the first place. I was just... Yes, yes, be nice to the weapons machine, Spirit. Ask it nicely.
The dock worker looked awkward as he turned his gaze down at the rifle.
Please?
He said lamely.
Such reverence! Now click that lock switch on the other side. That is the release catch, and you need to slide it back to get the cell back in.
The man dropped the power cell from his shaking hands, but slapped it home on the second try.
Thank you, sir. Yes, yes, I am a hero. Now, my brave friends, a siren will soon begin to sing. When it does, it means the enemy is within range of our artillery defenses, which are sadly too few in number to make me smile. When I say it is time to be ready, you are all to sit up and start looking for huge and ugly beasts to shoot.
Yes, sir,
they chorused.
I could become used to that, oh yes. Now, listen with both ears, my wonderful fellows. Aim for the bodies. It is the biggest target, and that is what counts if you are new to this.
Yes, sir,
they said again.
There is a very beautiful woman I would like to marry after this war. She will almost certainly be saying no to my proposal, but, hey, we will see. If she says yes, you are all invited to my wedding, which will be in the Eastern Territories, where the weather is much less like being pissed on by the sky every day. Also, the drinks will be free. You have my word on this. I am always truthful, this being one of my many glorious virtues.
A few of the men smiled despite themselves. The siren began to wail. A banshee's keen across kilometers of docks, howling over tens of thousands of frightened Imperial souls. Muffled thumps started up in response as the Sabre-class defense platforms opened fire on the incoming fleet.
It is time, Andre grinned again, to earn some very shiny medals.
For the Emperor.
One man breathed the words like a mantra, his eyes closed.
For the Emperor.
Oh, no, not for him.
Andre fastened his rebreather mask, but they could still hear the smile in his voice.
He is happy on his golden throne a long way from here. This is for me, and it is for you, and that is more than enough.
The sirens began to fade one by one, until a last lone wail sputtered out.
Any moment now,
Andre said, leaning up to aim over the top of the container he'd been kneeling behind.
We will have company.
The first vessels crashed into the docks with the noise of a storm wave breaking against the shore. With no finesse, without even slowing down, they crunched into the gangways and loading platforms, ferociously beaching themselves. Doors and portals immediately blasted open, disgorging a tide of foul alien flesh onto the docks. The very first of the alien beasts to spill from its underwater scrap pod was a brute, easily half again the size of its lesser brethren, bearing a trophy rack on its hunched shoulders with human skulls and Astartes helms from other wars on other worlds. It had been leading its tribe across the edges of the Imperium for decades, and in a fight, with all else even, would have been more than a match for a lone Astartes. Its face, shoulder and torso disintegrated in a ruthless volley of lasfire that sent the burning remains spinning off the edge of the docks and into the polluted water below. Less than 100 meters away, Domoska shouted encouragement to the dock workers she led and ordered them to fire again. Many had missed, but more than enough had struck home. It was a pattern being repeated along the Hell's Reach docks now, as the first wave of Xenos creatures howled and laughed their way into the city. From his makeshift cover within the den of loosely stacked cargo containers, McHernus fired shot after shot, feeling the rifle in his hands growing warmer with each crack of release. He lowered himself below the lip of the crate he knelt behind and reloaded his lasgun with inexpert fingers. The bastard thing was stuck,
Use force,
Andre said from his place next to the dockmaster. The stormtrooper didn't look at him, didn't even glance away from where he was aiming and firing. Another migraine-bright beam of overcharged energy spat from the soldier's hellgun.
This slides off and jam on new rifles. This is a sad truth with the rifles of our homeworld. Their spirits take time to wake up.
McHernus was amazed he could even hear the other man over the din of beaching vessels, alien roars and discharging lasguns filling the air, with a scattered chorus of mechanical cracks.
I fired a Cantrail rifle once,
Andre was continuing, his words punctuated by slight shifts in his posture and aim as he tracked target after target, releasing round after round.
It was a very keen weapon, oh yes. That world forges eager guns.
McHernus slotted the fresh power cell home and raised himself back into position. His back already ached from his first 2 minutes as a soldier. How the Steel Legion crouched like this for days on end and got used to battle was a mystery to him. He fired at distant figures, lumbering alien hulks that ran with almost no sense of direction or purpose, as if hunting for a scent, lost until they found it. Others in the emerging packs would race to the source of the lasfire being thrown at them and were cut down in their headlong run. A few, clearly cunning by the standards of these creatures, remained back and loaded heavy weapons. These last beasts sent shrieking missiles into the entrenched Imperial lines, exploding stacks of cargo crates or pulverizing the sides of warehouses. Slowly, but surely, with an insidious creep, the docks were being enveloped by thick smoke from the destroyed submersibles and burning buildings.
We will have to move soon,
Andre called over his shoulder to the others. The words proved prophetic. With a crash of metal on stone and a wave of flooding water, a submersible beached itself on the docks not 30 meters from their position. Salt water splashed down on the crouching dock workers. Alien growls came from the wrecked sub as its doors blasted open.
That is far from good,
the stormtrooper scowled behind his rebreather as he slammed back into his firing position, drawing a bead on the first creature to emerge. It dropped like a puppet with its strings cut as the harsh beam lanced through its face and blew out the back of its head. McHernus and the others joined their fire to his. Still more beasts came spilling from the submersible. The greenskins were charging now, having sniffed out the nearby cluster of humans behind the barricade and following the streams of laser fire.
Sir,
one of the men stammered, his eyes wide and bloodshot.
Sir, they're coming.
It is a fact I am aware of,
Andre replied, not stopping his stream of fire for a moment.
Sir, please shut up and keep firing, yes?
The beasts reached the cargo containers. They reeked of blood, smoke, bitter sweat, and the alien stench of fungal corruption. Bunched muscles hauled the beasts over the barricades, and the brutes roared down at the humans, no longer in cover, but hemmed in by the cargo pods. Lazran sliced up, punching dozens of the scrambling beasts back. The remnants of the first wave were joined by the second, and the creatures dropped in amongst the dock workers, scrap pistols barking and heavy axes swinging.
Fall back!
Andre shouted, firing his hellgun at point-blank range, using it to slash a way through the erupting melee.
Run!
The dock workers were already in a panicked flight.
With me, you idiots!
The stormtrooper yelled, and for a wonder, it actually worked. The dockers, with enough presence of mind to clutch their lasguns in the chaos, moved with Andre, adding their fire to his again. He left a third of his team in the shelter of the containers and crane struts, screaming dock workers, unable to escape the invaders. Andre sensed a momentary hesitation in those that remained with him, a handful of seconds where they ceased against all logic, some freezing rather than open fire on their dying friends, and others mesmerized in astonished fear by the sight of such slaughter.
They are already dead!
Andre slammed his gloved palm into the side of McHernus's head, jolting him back into the moment.
Fire!
It was enough to break the spell. Lasfire opened up again, streaming into the embattled aliens.
Fall back only when you must reload! Stand and fire until then!
Andre swore under his breath after he gave the order. The orcs were already scrambling closer in an avalanche of green flesh, axe blades, and ragged armor. Around the retreating team, the docks burned and thundered with the sounds of more submersibles beaching themselves. Andre caught a momentary glimpse of another team of dock workers through the smoke some distance away, breaking into flight as they were chopped to pieces by the orcs in their midst. The same was about to happen to his ragtag gang, and he swore again. He hoped Demoska was faring better.
What a stupid place to die.
Kilometers away from Hell's Reach, beneath the sands of the wastelands to the northwest, there was a loud and unprecedented clunk of heavy machinery. Jerizian, forge master of the Eternal Crusader, rose to his feet with a slowness born of exhaustion. Tears stood in his eyes, a rarity indeed for a being that had not wept in over 20 decades. His mind pulsed with a thundering ache, a dull and thudding heat that had nothing to do with physical weakness. He could smell his servitors now that his senses were returning from their focusless lock on his primary task. Turning to regard them where they lay, Jerizian could smell the decay setting into their organic parts. They had been dead for weeks, starved of sustenance. He hadn't noticed. They had proven useless after the first few hours, over a month ago, their internal cognitive processes unable to keep up with the ever-evolving code. Jerizian had needed to work alone, cursing Grimaldus all the while. Another deep clunk of grinding machinery restored his attention to the present. His joints ached, both the mechanical ones and his still human ones, from such a period of inactivity. He had been a statue in place for 4 weeks, his mind alive and his body in hunched, tense stasis by the console. He had not slept. He knew that on several occasions, as his closing, exhausted mind had drifted close to shutting down, he had almost lost grip on the code. With his thoughts moving sluggishly, the code had outpaced him, just as it had done to his servitors. In these moments of panicked intensity, he had resisted by silencing sections of his mind with clinical meditation, operating at a lessened capacity, but at least he was still awake. Jerizian stared ahead at the vast doors. Oberon. That word burned itself into his core, written in towering letters, more a warning than a tomb marker. A last resonant machine sound signaled the grinding rollback of the final interior lock. Pressurized coolant vapor flushed into the corridor as the door's seal systems vented it. It reeked of chlorine, not poisonous, but stale from being cold-cooked for so many years, while the door remained silent and still. In a ballet of rumbling, shuddering technology, the portal began to open.
"Reclusiak," Jerizian voxed, horrified at the dull scratchiness of his voice. "The defences are broken. I am in.